beautiful song and imagery there, realizing that all roses have thorns, but that Jesus took the thorns, wore the thorns for us. And Steve, I like those two songs. Those are pretty neat. Those adaptations of songs, as tunes that we know, but very meaningful. Hopefully you had a great Christmas. You got everything you needed or wanted, but it's good to be in God's house today. And I know about one of my traditions on Christmas Eve is watching It's a Wonderful Life and falling asleep. But I will tell you, this year I actually watched the whole thing. I didn't fall asleep. So I saw it from beginning to end. I say that because one of my other favorite movies is A Christmas Carol. Those two I have to watch every year. And if you've seen the outline, you probably realize where my outline came from. And it's from A Christmas Carol. As we look at the past, talk about the present, and we hope in and hope for the future. But if you've ever seen A Christmas Carol, you know I Googled it, and there are a gazillion adaptations of Scrooge, a theatrical movie, cartoon. And I just have a question. How many of you remember Mr. Magoo's A Christmas Carol? Anybody? Okay, good. I'm not crazy, but I'm going to have to watch that. I always like Mr. Magoo. But they also even came out with another one this year, so there's plenty of them. But you know the story. Scrooge doesn't like Christmas. He's a mean old miser, and Christmas Eve he is visited by the three spirits of past, the present, and future. Now, I'm going to be, hopefully, I might be scary, but I'm not. I'm going to be your guide today as we talk about and look at our past, our present, and our future. And the one verse of scripture that I've chosen kind of as the springboard, because I'm going to share with you several, is Haggai 1:5, when he says, consider your ways. And he was urging God's people to reflect on some of the things that happened to them and to evaluate their lives, their spiritual condition, in light of what God had told them. And you know, we, even as we come to this time today, even the most faithful of God's children occasionally need to pause and think about the direction of our lives. Whether you've been a Christian a short time or you've been a Christian 50 or 60 years, we still need to take time and reflect on what God has done, what He's doing, and what the future can bring, and as we hope for the future. You know, it's easy to just kind of bump along, get wrapped up in the busyness of life and from week to week, and never stopping to think about and to ponder the things of how God has been in your life and what He's done for you. So today, that's what I want to do. And the first one, obviously, is the past. Just number one on your outline is, let's just look at the past just for a moment. Erwin Lutzer, who is the pastor emeritus of Moody Church in Chicago, where he served as senior pastor for 36 years, made this statement. The past cannot be changed, but our response to it can be. So everything behind this can't be changed, but we can change our response to it. The first thing I want to look at is that our past includes valuable lessons for today. And these aren't things that you've not aware of. These aren't things that you don't know. Just reminders as we look forward to 2020. I remember when I was about, I don't know why I thought this, but I just did. I guess as a little kid, I remember it vividly, out in the backyard raking pine straw, which if I'd have known then what I know now, that you could sell it, you know. But me and a friend, and we were coming to the year end of 1967. And I always wonder what happened at the end of the year. Did we just all kind of, and I don't know why I thought it just then. I was 10 years old. It was like, what happens when the year ends? We just all disappear. Go figure. No, we don't. We just get another year and we continue on. So our past includes valuable lessons for today. You know, today's pressures can make it easy to ignore or forget the lessons of the past. Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 10:11. He says, all these things happen to them as examples, as object lessons to us, to warn us against doing the same things. They were written down so that we could read about them and learn from them in these last days as the world nears its end. Now, what Paul was talking about there, had just told them about Moses and all he had done, the children of Israel, how they brought them out of Egypt, and then how they got into the wilderness, and then they just basically turned from God and got that cycle of rebellion, and God would bring them back, and the 40 years and the wandering and all of that. That's what he's talking about. He wrote these things down so we have an example of not what to do, not how to do it, you know, so we don't make the same mistakes. The key to remembering, obviously, is what? Looking at God's Word on a regular basis, reading it and seeing how God has worked, seeing the mistakes that others have made. And looking at those and saying, hey, I'm not going to make those. I don't want to make those mistakes. God, help me not make those same mistakes. Help me not make those same mistakes. So these lessons remind us of how God wants us to live. You know, we don't have to repeat those mistakes. We don't have to repeat. If we've made mistakes in the past, we don't have to repeat those mistakes. We can learn from them and we can figure out a different way and not make those same mistakes. But not only does it include valuable lessons for today, it also, our past influences our future. Our past influences our future. Isaiah writes, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." You know, our past affects our present and it affects our future. And sometimes this verse here to me says, you know, sometimes God acts in our lives and sometimes we get the idea that's the way he's always going to act. And if that's what we're expecting, if that's what we're waiting on for God to do the same thing the same way every time, guess what? A lot of times we miss his blessing because he's over here doing something different and we're over here thinking, well, this is how God did it. This is how God has to do it. You know, we've got that little box that God can only do it right here. And if he gets outside that little box, we miss him. But he says, forget, don't dwell on the past. I'm doing something new. Look for the new. Look for something new. So, because actually by sunrise today, I said by sunrise tomorrow, but by sunrise today, our actions of today will have become in the past. So what we're doing now, when we wake up in the morning, is going to be in the past. There was nothing we can do. We can't change it. Yet, they will already have begun to affect our future. So what you do today, and you know that what you do today will affect what you do tomorrow, and then what you do the next day. Many of you are retired, so I imagine way back 30, 40, 50 years ago, you sat down or you decided, I'm going to do this, and that affected your whole life. Today, the younger generation does that a little bit more often. Like, I'm going to do this for 5 years. I mean, there's not that longevity you see today that there was in the past. But that's okay. That's okay. But just remember, what we do today will affect what we do tomorrow. So my question to you today is, what is it that you can choose or that you can avoid that will positively shape your future? Again, eternally, what are the things that we can do today? If you take away everything that's not eternal, then there's a lot of stuff that we really don't need to be doing. Isn't that right? And I'm pointing a finger, as you know, as you point out that way, you got three pointing. But whatever is not going to affect us eternally, we might need to be thinking of, should we be doing that? Number C, our past can be a reminder of God's grace. Our past can be a reminder of God's grace. Yes, we learn from it. It influences our future, but it also reminds us of God's grace. Samuel writes, Samuel then took a stone and placed it between Mizpah and Jeshana and named it Ebenezer, meaning the stone of help. For he said, the Lord has certainly helped us. This was during that time the Israelites were having trouble with the Philistines. And God continued to deliver them. And he had just delivered them from difficulty. The people set up a stone as a memorial to God, reminding them of what God had done. And God's great help and his deliverance. You know, a lot of time after our toughest trials come the biggest victories. And sometimes it's the other way. After our biggest victories come the toughest trials. Remember Jesus? Right after he was baptized, where'd he go? He went into the wilderness for 40 days, was tempted by Satan. Great, here's my son, I'm pleased with him. But yet, next thing we know, he's in the wilderness. During the tough times, during those hard times, we need to recall God's faithfulness to us in the past. How has he sustained me through, and you fill in the blank, because each of us have those stories where God has brought us through something. Remember how he's helped you. Remember how he's brought you through that. Remember how he's delivered you from that. And guess what? He's going to do it again. Now remember, he may not do it and probably won't do it the same way. But if you get into a spot, if you have an issue, if you have a need, he's going to take care of it. Just remember how he's worked in the past. He's going to continue to do that in the future. You know, memorials can help us remember God's past victories and give us confidence and strength for the present. But there's one thing about memorials. If we're not careful, they can be hindrances. This is one of those things, as Bobby said, I wish I had thought of this, but I didn't, so I'm just going to say it. The past is valuable as a guidepost, but dangerous if it's used as a hitching post. It's valuable for the lessons it teaches us, but if we camp out there, a lot of times it gives us, oh, it's so wonderful, we should be back in, oh, wouldn't it be great to go back to, wouldn't it be wonderful? And then again, we sit there and we miss what God's blessing is for today. So remember, as we think about how God has worked, remember those memorials, but remember also that it's valuable as a guidepost, but it's dangerous if we use it as a hitching post, if we sit there and that's where we camp out. So the past includes valuable lessons for today. It influences our future. It's a reminder of God's grace, which brings us now to you're going into the present. Think about the present. And as you do that, I encourage you to seek God's plan in the present. Solomon writes in Proverbs 13:16, a wise man thinks ahead, a fool doesn't and even brags about it. You know, we're at that time of the year when many people will set goals, resolutions, which usually if you set resolutions by about the middle of January, I've actually had people tell me I'm not going to make any resolutions. Well, you just did. But you make the plans, you make goals, you set goals, you make however you want to term it. Yeah, that's good. There's a place for planning. There's a place for goal setting. There's a place for that self-discipline, especially when you have those goals that you want to reach. But, you know, there's some people that think planning is too restrictive. I'll just off the cuff do what I need to do when I need to do it. That's okay for a time. But in reality, planning can set a person free to enjoy life and to be productive. But as you set those goals, as you come up with that plan of action, resolutions, or however you want to, however you do that, don't forget God. Familiar passage to you, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And remember what all these things were? Remember the disciples were concerned. Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, and all those things. He said, if you seek God first, then I'll take care of you. I'll provide those things for you. And then he goes on to say, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Why would you want to borrow trouble from tomorrow, worrying about, whatever, when he says today, you're going to have enough trouble today? Why bring in some from... So planning for tomorrow is time well spent as we look for God and seek God, but worrying about tomorrow is time wasted. And sometimes it gets a little difficult to distinguish the difference. You know, careful planning is thinking ahead. It's thinking about goals, steps to get there, trusting in God's guidance. Now that's the key. If we do all the other without trusting in God, as the song, as we sang earlier to the Auld Lang Syne, he that builds the house labors in vain unless God's in it. So we can make all the plans. We can set in, all the action plans, all the resolutions, but if we leave God out of the picture, or sometimes what I do is we make these plans and then, okay, God bless my plan. That doesn't work either. Going back to Jesus, seek me first. If we're seeking God, Scripture tells us if we seek God, then our plans, everything will be in tune with what God wants us to do. So our plans will be His plans. When done well, planning can alleviate worry, because why do we worry? And worry is because we're not trusting God. We don't trust God enough to take care of whatever we're worrying about, be it family, finances, relationships, job, whatever it is. If we're worrying about it, we're not trusting God. Or maybe we do it like I do sometimes. This isn't nothing. I'll take care of this and let you handle it. Now, usually what will happen, though, at least in my life, is I'm taking care of the little things. The next thing I know, guess what? That little thing isn't little so more. It's gotten bigger and bigger, and I know who I am. I'm proud. I'm not going to let go of it. But worry is really not trusting God. So we seek God's plan in all of our planning and all of our prep. Whatever we're going to do, seek Him first. But then also, when we do that, learn to trust His plan. Learn to trust His plan. Another familiar passage, this is probably my favorite, is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Now, let me back up a little bit. Let me read the context of that verse, if you don't remember it. Jeremiah, he's speaking to those that have just been taken into exile in Babylon. Okay? And that's the end verse of what he's just told them. Let me share with you what he's told them. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I've caused to be carried away from Jerusalem. Now don't miss that one either. Who I'm caused. God allows things to happen to get our attention. Look at Job. Nothing happened till Job until when? God gave permission. So sometimes God allows things to happen to get our attention. But he says, I've caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, eat their fruit, take wives, begat sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons. Give your daughters to husbands so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. Seek the peace of the city where I've caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams, which you cause to be the dreamed. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to turn to this place. For I know the plans I have for you. Not to harm you, not to hurt you, to get you hope. So they're in captivity. They're in captivity, and he says, look, go live your lives. Do what you're supposed to do, but in 70 years, I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to bring you back because I know the plan I have for you. And that's what he tells us today. He knows the plan he has for us. It's always to our advantage. Again, everything that happens to us happens through God. It's always for our good. It's always for our good. But His plan is never designed to exalt us. It's always designed to bring glory to Him. Remember Jesus in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men. Why? That they'll see your good works. And glorify who? God. Now, again, remember, Jesus goes on to say later that if you're doing things to glorify you, hey, look at me, guess what? You've got your reward right there. When people pat you on the back, oh, yay, we're great, yeah, that's your reward. But he says, let your light shine. Let people see what you do, not for your benefit, but for God's glory, for God's glory. And then, as you saw here, obedience comes before if then. God said, if you do this, then I will. If you go off and do what I tell you to do, then I'm going to bring you back. Then you're going to find me. Then you're going to see me. But you have to do something, and then I will. Again, another scripture that comes to mind, that one we all know, is 2 Chronicles 7:4. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then I'll hear. Then I'll heal their land. So it's an if then. So learn to trust God's plan, but then don't give up too soon. Don't give up too soon. Sometimes we feel like we're at the end of the rope. You know, your friend has let you down. It's just not working just like it should. It doesn't seem to be working out. Your family's disappointed in you, whatever. Don't give up. Don't give up. Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. In John 7:37. Also Matthew 11:28. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. So don't give up. It may be tough. It may be hard. Living in the present is hard. I mean, you pick up a newspaper, you turn it, well, internet, TV, whatever. The world is in chaos. The world is in chaos. But God told us that was going to happen. But don't give up too soon. So past, present, and the future. Abraham Lincoln said, the best thing about the future is it comes one day at a time. And point A there, God reveals only what we need to know to obey Him. I've said this before, Say it again. If God would have told you the day you accepted Him, here's your life, and here's what you're going to experience. All the heartache, all the hurt, all the pain, all the good, all the ugly, everything. Here it is. We probably would have stepped back and said, well, now wait just a minute. Can we negotiate this? Can we talk? I don't know if I like this. But He doesn't do that. It's one day at a time. We get it one day at a time. In Deuteronomy, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. You know, there are some things God chooses not to tell us. There are some things God chooses not to tell us. Maybe because obviously we wouldn't understand. Again, if He gives us the whole life, if you were accepted Christ at 6 and you're now 70, 80 years old, if He'd have given you 75 years of here's your life, He gives us just enough to obey Him. You know, some things are unnecessary for us to know until we're old, till we're mature, till we get older in the faith. Then He reveals as we need to know on a need to know basis. And we don't need to know everything He knows to obey Him. He's given us what we need to know to obey Him. And then if we need to go a step further, then He'll give us a little bit more. It's that whole idea of what? Walking by faith. How much light do you have when you walk by faith? What? The next step, right? And then the next step. And if we stop, then yeah, we can't see anything out here. To find out what's out here, we got to take the next step and trust that He's going to take care of us. So He gives us enough of what we need to know in order to obey Him. So disobedience comes from an act of the will, not an absence of knowledge or lack of knowledge. We know enough today, each of us in our lives, we know enough individually as a child of His, we know what we need to do to obey Him. So if we're not obeying Him, it's not that we don't know, it's that I'm stopping here, I'm not walking anymore. Through God's Word, we know enough about Him to be saved by faith and to serve Him. We mustn't use the limitation of our knowledge as an excuse to reject His claim on our life. And the next one, our future is under God's control. Again, I go back to Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. So again, He knows in the present, but He also knows the future. And He said, I'm going to give you hope and I'm going to give you a future. So He is in control. Forever begins right now. And we're to follow Him, to obey Him, no matter what the rest of the world does. No matter what your neighbor does. Jesus told us that. Remember when after He was resurrected, He was on the beach. The guys had gone, you know, Peter denied Him. He'd gone fishing. They see Him on the beach. Jesus calls Him in and He reinstates Peter. Remember, He had that discourse with Peter about, hey, Peter, look, you're going to get older. They're going to do things, take you places you don't want to go. You're going to be crucified, all of these things that are going to happen to you. And He looked over and He said, well, over here, what about John? Remember what Jesus said? Look, Peter, don't worry about him. You follow me. Again, don't worry about anybody else. We worry about ourselves and let God worry about everybody else. If all of us are doing what God wants us to do, guess what? There's no need to worry about anybody else. So our future is under God's control. And then see, God knows how to finish the job. One verse of scripture, Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul's telling the Philippians, look, God started the work in you. And guess what? Until you see Jesus, he's able to take care of you. He's able to complete it. He's able to get you through whatever you're going through. He's able to do that because a little bit later in Philippians, he said, it's God in us who's working to will for his good pleasure. So he's able, if he began the work in you, he's able to complete it, to take care of you, to get you through those high spots, to get you through those low spots, to get you through those moments, the dry moments, the hard moments. He's able to finish the job. I will live in the past, the present, and the future. The spirit of all three shall strive within me. I will not shut out the lessons they teach. Ebenezer Scrooge. So we learn from our past those things that we need to know. We learn from our past. Of course, we live in the present. We have to stay here. This is where we are. We trust God to take care of us in the present and know and trust him that he's going to take care of the future, no matter what that might be, no matter what that might look like. He's going to take care of the future and he's going to give us hope. I'll close with this. I am the new year. I'm an unspoiled page in your book of time. I am your next chance at the art of living. I am your opportunity to practice what you've learned about life during the last 12 months. All that you sought and didn't find is hidden in me, waiting for you to search it, but with more determination. All the good that you tried for and didn't achieve is mine to grant when you have fewer conflicting desires. All that you dreamed but didn't care to do, all that you hoped but did not do well, all the faith that you claimed but did not have, these slumber lightly, waiting to be awakened by the touch of a strong purpose. I am your opportunity to renew your allegiance to him who said, behold, I make all things new. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the opportunity to come and worship you. Father, we thank you for the past, God, the things you've taught us, the things we've learned. God, we thank you for this past year. And God, as we look forward to a new year, God, we pray that you would renew our hearts. God, to be more diligent as we strive to serve you. And God, as we live in the present moment, help us to understand that's all we have is right now. Because we don't know what a day will bring. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. We don't know what this afternoon will bring, but we know that you are in control. And all the things that touch our lives, Heavenly Father, we know that they come through your hands for the express purpose of making us more like Jesus. And God, during this time of invitation, we pray that you would move among us, God, and if there's one here that needs to make a decision, God, to follow you, to trust you more, to whatever that decision might be, God, we pray that you would help them do that through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. For we make our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you'll stand.